Back on Downtown, time for Message in the Bottle. Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, joining us. There you go.
The name of the song is Pop the Cork, people. Stick with us. Yes. Stick with us.
Right. There's a point to it.
Is there?
Oh,
does there have to be?
No.
Good.
No.
Whew.
But there is. Welcome, sir.
It's odd how very few good songs have Cork in the name. There's the the girl from Cork or whatever, which is classic Irish song.
Yes.
And then nothing else. A lot of weird trance music. And I'm like, nah, this is not going to work for these people. These people need to be woken up.
You did it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. God, sorry.
From my fever dream.
Is it? Well, do I need to step away from you?
No, okay. No.
Fever dreams are more fun. That's when people come up with great art.
Yes. Or when they're riding through Arizona and see a road sign,
right.
Write it down and throw it in the glove compartment.
And again, I cannot recall things. But then I listen to people who clearly have gaps, and yet they recall little things like that. And you're like, wow, you've lost the rest of your life, but you got that one moment
that
it's
stuff.
There.
Yeah.
And I feel like that might be me someday. I
remember that he met Anne.
That's right.
While curling.
Curling, which is it took me up until that moment in your interview to remember that he was Canadian. I'm like, that's right, Canadians. They know curling.
Right.
I'd say, whatever. Oh, gosh, people. So it's, wow. I mean, I have things to talk about, but Italy's shut down.
Yeah.
So, man, you thought tariffs were a problem. Oh, boy. As I was listening to Corrales before this, and, I knew yesterday that Princeton was, unprecedented times, or rather, I guess they are precedented, but none of the earlier precedents give me a lot of, well, actually, depending on who you listen to.
Right.
I guess the problem is that our leadership doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence. But the rest of it, I guess there's a lot of point in kind of closeting. And if you've got a closet, the best way to closet yourself, self-quarantine, is, in fact, this is scientifically proven with baguettes and brie and wine.
No question about it. Right. I would say get out tomorrow and load up.
There you go.
Just in case. It may be nothing, but do you want to be the guy who doesn't have enough cheese?
I'm just saying. I mean, you thought toilet paper was a problem.
Right.
Wait till there's a run on brie.
Right. Hand sanitizer? Yeah, everybody's got that now, but...
Please.
But camembert? No.
How do you think the Europeans stay so healthy and thin?
I mean, except
for the Italians. God.
Chain smoking.
That's right. One of my friends on Facebook just posted, just saw a guy wearing a mask pull it back to take a long drag off a butt. I was like, there you go. Something's going to kill me, but it ain't going to be Corona, not today.
Corona, baby.
I love it. We're here to talk. Let's talk about normal things.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about Cork and closures. This whole month of March, we talk about how wine gets to you. Not literally in your mouth. You probably can figure that one out yourself. But
self-taught there.
There you go. It's the month we sort of talk about all the facets of packaging of wine, because it's a huge topic in the industry. I mean, everybody thinks they've got the next best idea, and we're going to talk about a lot of these ideas as we get through this month. But today we're going to talk about that most classic of things that everybody thinks about when they think about wine, which is corks and popping a cork and how you're closing up that bottle of wine. So let's talk first about cork, and then we'll talk about some of the cork alternatives, as they were. So cork is made out of a substance called suberin, right? Suberin is what we call hydrophobic. That doesn't mean it's afraid of water. But it does mean that it repels water and it repels liquids. It's remarkably effective against, when you, like if you drop some water on wood, you see that it instantly gets absorbed, right? Whereas cork, it beads, it's hydrophobic. I don't have the coronavirus. I just have phlegm in my throat.
That's fine.
It's good. It's fun. That's why I drink wine, to cut it. We've got this is made out of the bark of the Quercus suber, right? This is called the cork oak. And most of it is found Southwest Europe, Northwest Africa, and fully 50% of the annual production comes from the Montado region, one region in Portugal, the Montado region. Portugal, hugely, hugely important in the cork industry. And these trees are absolutely fascinating, folks. I mean, if you see them, first of all, they typically live 300 years. They start producing at 25 years. So, and they're harvested every 9 years, right? So this is a very sort of long-term, long view product that people are in. And the companies that work with cork are very obviously long established. I used to say this is like whiskey, but of course people try to like sort of micro barrel whiskey and age it faster these days. But good whiskey is aged in large barrels for a long time. Good cork, it is, you know, it's a long, long process. And when you see these trees, I mean, they literally, it's the bark, right? So they cut off just a huge section of bark, and it's very, very thick at that point, which is why they let it go so long. And of course, the longer it's going, and you'll notice when you pull corks on certain bottles, some of them are longer, some of them are shorter, stubbier. And the better cork producers and the better, you know, wine producers have contracts with these folks. They get the longer, better corks made from trees that are. And first of all, so we're going to talk about why not cork in a second. But they go with the most reputable firms that give them the best product, right? So cork only came into general use in the mid to late 1600s. Yeah? They're natural cracks and fissures in cork that allow some gas to flow, oxygen being the most obvious one. But the compression when you tighten it in a like for sparkling wine, that helps prevent the escape of things like CO2. So that's that whole, like, does wine breathe? Well, if wine could breathe through a compressed cork, we wouldn't have sparkling wine. And that would be sad, because I really like sparkling wine. Just me. But why not cork, right? What is the problem, and why are the more reputable firms important? Because there's a thing called trichloroanisole. We talk about it all the time, TCA. It is what is the cause of what we call corkage or cork taint. It is that smell when you open a bottle and it smells like, I always like to say, like a library that's been like submerged in a flood and then, you know, the flood waters go away, but it's just like wet, moldy everything. My wife likes to say it's like a nasty, you know, bilge in a boat. Sometimes you smell it on potatoes, actually, mm-hmm. here in this potato rich state, you'll get the same sort of off-putting smell. And that happens in 5 to 10% of all cork. So as we've talked about before, a lot of people choose to use screw caps or other alternatives because losing 5 to 10% of your product is not particularly attractive. And furthermore, people who have no idea what trichloroanisole is, and they open a bottle of wine and it smells like, you know, death, they're going to be like, "Well, I don't like wine." Well, that defeats all the purposes, right? So it's a thing that, you know, I as a wine merchant try to get out there, you know, educate people. If you ever end up with a bottle that, you know, and by the way, this is why in restaurants, when they you know, open the bottle and give you the cork, it's not so you can be like, it smells like cork. It's it doesn't smell. It
smells like bilge.
Like, yeah, bilge. Yeah. Because if it does, that would be a really good time to say to the wait staff, perhaps a different bottle. And that is your right, because, and I, again, this is the educational part, if you have a bad bottle of wine, you can, not a bottle you don't like, folks, a bottle that is like ruined, return it to your wine merchant, or in this, you know, if the restaurant or whatever, and we can return it up the line. And then basically that those bottles are sort of written off the next time the distributors order from the producers. So just understand that producers, A, don't want that line item on their invoice of you know, we had 100 bottles that suffered from corkage. So that's one reason that they're not going to do that. Yes, of course, you know, the aesthetic of cork is great, and it's all, but sometimes it's not the best thing. So that's the deal. You can take it for what it is. There are still people who insist on having cork, you know, like consumers. They feel like that's got to be there. Okay. You know, that's cool. But understand that your choices are going to be more and more and more and more limited, especially amongst less expensive wines, because frankly, cork costs a lot of money. Screw caps don't.
Now, what about the synthetic cork?
Right. So synthetic corks are, and there's a number of them, right? There's plastic, there's bamboo, there's all sorts of corks that are made out of alternatives to cork. And some of them are great. One of the bigger problems with them actually is for people who like to use gadgets. They are not good for those things where you have like the CO2 container to you stick it on and it pops the cork out. They're not good for the rabbits. They break the rabbit, you know, those things. So they're aesthetically pleasing, but you know, so again, there's pluses and minuses with everything. But yeah, definitely you see those for people who don't want the threat of the TCA infection. But a lot of them are not biodegradable, so that's kind of a problem for some people. They don't love that. It's, you know, and also some of them actually have a slight chemical smell. After a certain amount of time, like 18 plus months, it's been, you know, shown, are prone to themselves kind of wearing down from the alcohol. And so they're not perfect. That's why some of the things that are like bamboo and these other things are a little more intriguing, because they have a little bit more shelf life. There's also Zorks. If anybody's ever seen those are the ones where when you get it, you've got to kind of unwrap some plastic, and then it's its own sort of resealable cork. That's an Australian invention. It's patented there. The price of them about a year or 2 years ago doubled, so you see less and less of them, because the point of synthetic corks is that they're affordable as well as being useful. The other thing you see, obviously, is screw caps, usually metal with a plastic or rubber seal on the inside. Can wine age without a cork? Yes. Yes, it can. There's air trapped in the wine, and in there's that bit of what's called the eulage, which is the little gap between the wine and the cork. Some appellations, however, have banned the use of screw caps. For instance, Valpolicella Classico in northern Italy. Which is in a bad way right now anyway. And one of the leading producers, Allegrini, said, okay, fine, we're no longer going to make Valpolicella Classico. We're going to declassify our wine because we want to use screw caps because we don't want to lose 10% of our product. So there you go. The other one you're going to see is Stelvin, especially on like Austrian and German wines. Those are those sort of glass little stoppers they're kind of cool. They're resealable. They're pretty neat. I am running out of time, so I did want to hit a couple things that are coming up at the store. First of all, our tasting this month will be on the 19th, so that's next Thursday from 5 to 7. Our friend Doug Watts, who owns South Portland Wine Company, will be joining us and pouring some wine. Looking ahead, on the 16th of next month, we are going to have I think the number two at T. Edwards Wines, a woman named Karen Ulrich. She's brilliant. She absolutely knows her stuff, and she will be leading our tasting next month. Then also on May 14th, we just booked this. This is very cool. Wine author Jim Loughran, who has two books out, 50 Ways to Love Wine More and A Beer Drinker's Guide to Knowing and Enjoying Fine Wine, will be in the store. We're going to be doing a little talk, book signing, tasting with Jim. It should be a lot of fun. Very, very accessible books, you know, a lot of fun and a nice guy. So we're going to be doing that in May. Lots more stuff coming up, but did want to sort of put those on your calendar because they're going to be a lot of fun. And otherwise, I will talk to you all next week. We're going to be talking about boxes. Very exciting. The cost of shipping, styles of shipping, and the origin of temperature-controlled shipping. And in the meantime, folks, wash your damn hands and drink your wine. Cheers.
Both of them are very good for you.
This is what I'm saying.
There you go. Thank you, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Message in the Bottle. Every single Tuesday, all of Eric's segments archived on the website at downtownwithrichkimble.com.